now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. There is so much to cover today, so I will try to fit in as much information as I can in the time allocated. Well, it looks like the balloon has gone up. That's an old school saying for, well, it looks like the wars have started, or at least in this case, expanded. If there's still people out there clinging on to the fatalistic belief that Donald Trump is their savior, I'm patting you on the head right now because I think you're a child. It's like equal parts Santa Claus, kids wanting to believe in Santa Claus, and equal parts people not wanting to believe of incest or child abuse in the family. Oh, Uncle Otto, you know, how could you say that about him? When he walks in on you when you're changing your clothes, little girl, he's just excited to see you. He misses you, right? So it's got both dynamics at work. This wanting to believe in Santa Claus / Donald Trump and not wanting to believe that Santa Claus is a perp and is in bed with perps. This latest stunt, which you could see coming from a mile away with the benefit of hindsight, the declaration of, it wasn't really his declaration, but going along with the notion that Jerusalem is the new capital of Israel, predictably triggered a wave of protests and unrest all over the world. Now the Iraqi Shias are talking about going after American troops, and I'm sure that fact has made a lot of people happy in the control freak mob. Well, now, if a single Shia anywhere in the world does something or is alleged to have done something harmful to U.S. interests, well, automatically that ties in Iran. You see how that works? And it's interesting, too, and now with the benefit of hindsight, a lot of people were sus about InfoWars for some time. I'll always give AJ credit for interviewing David Icke and letting him speak at length about reptilians on two occasions. I thought that was earth-shaking in its magnitude and implications. He also let David Icke come on and talk at length about the true nature of consciousness and how it's been muted. But now, I mean, when you go on to InfoWars, it's just a cheerleading section for Donald Trump. And you see these ridiculous headlines, not only on InfoWars, but on other so-called alternative news sites. Donald Trump is waging a war against the deep state. It's just so ridiculous. And I'll get into that because these appointments that are going to be made, Rex Tillerson is going to step down, apparently. And, you know, surprise, surprise, who's going to take his place? Everything is being put in place for an expansion of these wars. And by making this pronouncement about Jerusalem, you can stick a fork into the whole concept of peace in the Middle East, Palestinian statehood, a two-state solution, all that. Stick a fork in it, it's done. You can forget about that. Ain't gonna happen. Okay, let's take it in turns and see how this whole thing was carefully set up for Trump to go along with the Zionist agenda to not only put into process the Greater Israel plan scheme of things, which in practice means destroying and reducing to failed state status every country in the Near East and the Middle East, Libya, Iraq, balkanizing them. Now Turkey's crying foul. It's a little too late for that, Turkey, okay? You've been involved in human trafficking. You've been involved in drug trafficking. Sibel Edmonds has called you out a long time ago, talking about the whole state of Turkey. Now they're seeing the writing on the wall. It took a while for the coin to drop, actually. The Kurds, which have been used by the West for a long time, right? I used to be sympathetic to the Kurds. So I figured, oh, well, you know, they're homeless. They need a place just like the Palestinians. Bad comparison. Because the West has used and misused and abused and discarded at turns the Kurds, and now it's clear that the Kurds were being used to Balkanize Iraq. They're being used to Balkanize Turkey, and now the Turks are crying foul, right? Oh, you can't arm the Kurds. You can use them to like destabilize and destroy other areas around here, but you can't do that to us. And now, increasingly, the tide has been turned against Turkey, and they're crying foul. And well, you know, they're opportunists. You can at least say that. And now they're turning more towards Russia. Not surprising, but I have no sympathy for a state that wiped out 1.5 million Armenians back in the day. Also was involved in human trafficking, drug trafficking, exporting terrorism. We're going to talk more about one of their exports, which they don't like, Fethullah Gulen, right? Thank you, Sibel Edmonds. Sibel Edmonds is the gift that keeps on giving to those who believe in freedom, those who believe in the truth. She's just been a royal pain in the neck to the powers that be for so long now. I'm toasting you, holding up a champagne glass for you, Sibel Edmonds. Thank you for your great work. And I'm going to talk about how that all ties into it too, because, you know, you have ISIS and controlled assets of the deep state, so-called Daesh, whatever the hell you want to call them. And then you have the Fethullah Gulen network, charter schools set up all over America. Most Americans couldn't tell you the difference between a Shia or a Sunni. To them, they're all just a bunch of ragheads. They don't know. So when all this false flag terrorism kicks in, they'll just conveniently blame ISIS, who they've been supplying all along and arming all along in the Middle East and basically around the world. And for all we know, it'll be these Fethullah Gulen types, you know, coming out of all these charter schools, all these jihadists. And these charter schools have been involved in child rape and pedophilia and drug trafficking and who knows what else. It all ties in. I'm going to talk about that. Okay, follow the bouncing ball. Steve Bannon was the hero of the so-called alt-right movement. And recently, Steve Bannon spoke before an American Zionist organization and said he's proud to be a Christian Zionist. Thank you very much. And so, okay. That's what I mean about the absurdity of the situation, right? When he was kicked out of the administration last year, I think it was, people were going, oh, this is proof that the deep state has it in for the Trump administration. They had to move Steve Bannon out and, you know, they're going to replace him with so-and-so. And no, that's not what happened. Steve Bannon was a convenient lightning rod. He was there just to be a distraction. Self-proclaimed proud Christian Zionist. And he had a big mouth, sexual predator. He had sexually abused and sexually assaulted his ex-wife, beat the hell out of her. So he was a predator and a perp to begin with, on top of a Christian Zionist. And they simply just didn't want him around because he had a big mouth, and he would draw attention to the fact that he was a Christian Zionist, right? Trump is supposed to drain the swamp, and here is his right-hand man, the guy who is a self-proclaimed leader of the so-called alt-right, chuckle, right? You have all these alt-right types out there. Let's make America great again. And the guy turns out to be a self-proclaimed proud Christian Zionist. I'm just patting you all in the head right now, all you alt-right types. So he was conveniently shunted out of the way. And he's just there for distraction purposes, for people to point at and get mad at and call racist and, you know, just more divisiveness. Because I pointed out this before, Trump is ideal for the powers that be because he will expand all their wars overseas, increase the drone strikes, increase the covert operations, increase the defense spending, so-called. And domestically, he's the ideal foil, he's the ideal lightning rod for divisiveness, for a burgeoning civil war. I mean, you know, it's been pointed out to me that Trump, Trumpet, And then a trumpet sounded, right, almost like the Book of Revelation. It's funny. But every one of his tweets is like a trumpet, you know. And then he tweeted, and an angel fell from heaven, right? It's like some weird kind of Trump tweeter Book of Revelations thing unfolding right before us. And every tweet puts us that much closer to World War III. It's bizarre. I mean, who would have thunk? You know what I mean? So he's this foil, this lightning rod that the cultural Marxists, the so-called left, can point at and scream racist, and anyone who voted for him is a racist, and anyone who follows him is a racist. And that'll create the situations necessary for a civil war in America, especially the way they keep pushing the gun control with all these shooting incidents, alleged shooting incidents. Some are real, some are not so real. And the expansion of the wars abroad. So Trump was the perfect person for that. They couldn't have a civil war with Hillary Clinton. You have to keep this in mind, right? They couldn't point to Hillary Clinton and say racist and all this other stuff. And, you know, that could only work with Donald Trump. So he was ideal for their purposes. And I point out Steve Bannon here at the outset just to show that the person who was the leader of the so-called alt-right, Breitbart, all that stuff, all along he's a proud self-proclaimed Christian Zionist. The whole thing is a joke. Okay, so now got Steve Bannon out of the way. I'm still patting all the alt-right types on the head. Now you look at these appointments that are all coming into play in the Trump administration. Of course you have Jared Kushner, who's the pal of BB, right? He's now working hand in glove with Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince in Saudi Arabia, who's been, you know, arresting all these other princes, confiscating all their money. Mohammed bin Salman, and this is a key aspect to this too, vehemently anti-Iran. And so they've been expanding the war in Yemen. U.S. SOCOM, Special Operations Command, has been working overtime there. Drone strikes, the whole nine yards going on in Yemen right now. And that's the whole Iranian scenario where Mohammed bin Salman, vehemently, virulently anti-Iranian, just really fits in well with the Zionist scheme of things. Jared Kushner and bin Salman have been working with each other. Anyone who posed a threat to Mohammed bin Salman, the son of the king of Saudi Arabia, and he will be the heir, anyone who's in the way, anyone who is not 100% on board with this war on Iran, they're being kicked to the curb. They're being arrested. They're being tortured. Their wealth is being confiscated, etc., etc. You got to factor that in. Saudi Arabia was founded by Sabbatean Jews. And it's not that they've just become allies. They were always in this together. You go back to the first time, one of the first times they tried to destabilize Yemen in the 60s, where Israel prevailed upon the British government to hire a bunch of mercenaries, some of them ex-British SAS, to go to Yemen and wage a war there, a covert war. Some of the operatives they used in Yemen that time around in the 1960s, these were SAS operatives like Johnny Cooper, who was in the Western Desert with David Sterling in the early 1940s blowing up German and Italian airfields, right? Okay, let's look at some of the appointments. Rex Tillerson, in all likelihood, is going to be kicked to the curb as Secretary of State. I never thought that, you know, I'd be sorry to see an ExxonMobil executive, you know, be shunted, be kicked to the curb. But, you know, I have to say that this time I'll be sorry to see the guy go, because it looks like Mike Pompeo, the current director of the CIA, a virulent, war-loving hawk, anti-Iran, anti-Russia, anti-everybody, is going to take his place as Secretary of State, right? I mean, if you thought it was bad with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, well, we ain't seen nothing yet. And as far as who's going to take Mike Pompeo's place at CIA now that Pompeo is going to be moving over to state. And this is what, you know, a lot of well-connected analysts are talking about, right? The person who will be taking his place at CIA is Tom Cotton. Tom Cotton is a radical American Zionist. Here is a good article from Russia Insider. Neocons to take top positions in Trump's cabinet. Expect armed conflict. I don't know why I'm laughing. Tom Cotton is completely owned by the Israeli lobby. In his 2014 election as junior senator from Arkansas, he received $1 million from the Emergency Committee for Israel, headed by Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol was one of the signatories and one of the architects of the Project for the New American Century, I remind you, as well as additional assistance from the Republican Jewish Coalition. Yes, the neocons are back, written by Philip Giraldi. Some Washington observers who actually care about such things have been writing how there has been a kumbaya process going on between self-described conservative neocons and liberal Indians. Katrina Vandenhoevel describes the progressive hawks as the essential country crowd, borrowing a phrase from ex-Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, boo hiss. Which brings us to the latest shuffle in the Donald Trump cabinet and what it is likely to mean down the road. Multiple sources are predicting Tillerson out and Mike Pompeo in at State Department, with Pompeo replaced at the CIA by Senator Tom Cotton. The White House is denying the story, calling it fake news. But it is clear that Trump is uncomfortable with the current arrangement, or Trump's minders anyway, and Tillerson will be gone sooner or later. Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State replaces a somewhat bumbling businessman, adept at dealing in energy futures contracts, who has been struggling with reducing state's enormously bloated payroll. Pompeo, a real hard-nosed political hardliner who tends to see complex issues in fairly simplistic ways, has become a presidential confidant, briefing Trump frequently on the state of the world, most recently pushing for the horrific design to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. In a recent speech, Pompeo criticized the CIA, observing that it had forgotten how to spy, which is almost certainly true, adding that it will have to become more vicious in order to make America safe. Okay? So that is the mindset of these whack jobs. See, everything is Orwellian doublethink. Everything is doublespeak. Pompeo would like to turn the United States into an unleashed wrecking ball directed against the enemies of the American way, and he appears intent on starting that process in the Middle East. Now, here's the key part. And Pompeo will be replaced as CIA director by Tom Cotton. The less said about Tom Cotton, the better. But I will attempt to summarize in 8 words here. Tom is completely owned by the Israel lobby. Tom is completely owned by the Israel lobby. In his 2014 election as junior senator from Arkansas, he received $1 million from the Emergency Committee for Israel, headed by Bill Kristol, as well as additional assistance from the Republican Jewish Coalition. In March 2015, Tom paid those supporters back when 47 Republican United States senators signed a allegedly written by him that was then sent to the Iranian government directly, warning that any agreement over that country's nuclear program reached with President Barack Obama would likely be overturned by Congress. So, yes, the neocons are back. And, well, they really never went anywhere in the first place. So you have Tom Cotton, pro-Israeli war lover, in at the CIA as the director. Some people would call him a figurehead, and I've heard some people say, well, you know what, he's an outsider, and, you know, old-timers in the CIA, they're not going to respect him, they're just going to ignore his directives, blah, 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 quack, quack, quack. No, this guy is plugged in. And the people in the CIA are going to do what he wants. And also, anyway, at the operational level, the person who actually does the ass kicking and gets things done is usually the deputy director. And there's been some horrific deputy directors of the CIA in the recent past. And the current one, Gina Haspel, was running CIA rendition sites, black sites in Thailand and elsewhere, where they were torturing the hell out of people in these CIA torture centers, okay? Think about the CIA Phoenix Project PICS, prisoner interrogation centers, all throughout Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War, tied in with the Phoenix program, all these people being tortured all the time. And then now with this bogus war on terror, all these black sites, these rendition sites popped up all over the world, Poland, everywhere else. There's supposedly even a black site for the CIA in Chicago, which wouldn't surprise me at all. And so Gina Haspel is the deputy director of the CIA, and she likewise, like Pompeo, is a war lover, hates Iran, hates peace of any kind, perish the thought. So Tillerson out, Mike Pompeo coming over as Secretary of State, and in his wake, Tom Cotton taking over as CIA director, a guy bought and paid for. And then his deputy director will be Gina Haspel, who will just continue all these policies and expand on them and all these agendas. So that's where we're at now. Great job draining the swamp. F you very much, Santa Claus, right? So let's hear no more about how Trump is waging this covert war against the deep state. It ain't happening. Like I said, when you go to InfoWars and all these other alternative news sites these days, it's just one big cheerleading section for poor Donald Trump, who's being hampered and hindered, you know, every step of the way. And every one of his tweets pushes us closer to all-out war. And, you know, before I go any further, you have to understand, well, we can take it for granted, a lot of us, how everything is fake in this reality that's been pushed by all these institutions, pushed by the academic quacks, pushed by the media. Another bit of quackery fakery is this concept of a missile defense shield, right? And if you listen to people like Donald Trump, oh, you know, our missile defense shield will shoot down 97% of all the missiles sent at us. It's just ridiculous, okay? It's patently absurd. Now, if you went onto Lockheed Martin's website and you're gullible enough, you will believe that their Aegis missile defense system shoots down every single missile sent its way in these tests. And you have to understand that these tests are contrived, they're carefully staged, they're very simple, right? They don't involve electronic jamming, they don't involve decoys, they don't involve electronic jamming. You have to do your own research about these things. When Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, all these defense so-called, that's another Orwellian oxymoron, defense, defense contractors, when they come out with these flowery puff pieces, their PR departments talk about how effective their weapon systems are, how effective these anti-missile defense systems are, they're being written for the shareholders. They're being written for the board of directors of those corporations. They're not going to say, oh, well, you know, these press releases, another failed attempt to shoot down a missile in our test, and no matter how carefully we stage these tests and how simple they are and, you know, how much advanced warning we have and how unrealistic they are from the standpoint of a real war, oh, we failed again. They're not going to come out with a press release saying that. That's not what the shareholders want to hear. That's not what the board of directors want to hear. All they want to hear is good news. Keep that point in mind. You just have to do your own research about this, right? And you're not going to get this research and this information from, like, flag-waving sites like militarytimes.com or the official Lockheed Martin website. You got to go to more impartial websites, which take a critical look at these weapon systems that are being developed. And you have to understand how the weapons procurement system works in America. It's not based on what's best for the end user, i.e. the boots on the ground, the pilot in the plane, the people on board these naval vessels. These contracts that these major weapons manufacturers take on are known as cost plus. So X number of millions of dollars or billions of dollars will be allocated for a particular weapons program. But in the fine print of the contract, it's called cost plus. And what that means is cost overruns are built in to the contract. Say a contract is for $200 million, but if it's cost plus, that means that if the defense contractor, so-called, says, oh, well, it's going to take us longer, you know, than the 22 months, the 40 months, whatever the deal was to build this weapons program at a certain amount of dollars, oh, it's going to take us 2 years and it's going to be an extra $100 million, that's fine because the contract stipulates cost plus. That's what it means. And so often as not, these weapons manufacturers, armaments makers, deliberately stall out the process. They deliberately milk the system for all it's worth, take forever and a day to complete these weapons systems. And they always have cost overruns because they know that with cost plus, every extra cent on top of the allocated $200 million, $400 million, whatever, is going to be picked up by the taxpayer. So it behooves these weapons makers to take their sweet time about building these weapons projects and adding on as much extra unnecessary crap as possible. And keep that point in mind. There's three basic phases to a missile launch. It's ascent, the so-called mid-reach, and then it begins its descent. And the U.S. has three basic anti-missile systems. The Patriot missile system, which is a joke, which doesn't even work, has never worked going back. They can't even intercept like old-fashioned Scud missiles, right? Let alone anything modern these days. And the Patriots are for, they're for like small target areas, airfields, to defend airfields, harbors, ports, that kind of thing. Then you have the terminal high altitude defense. I forget the name of the exactly what the acronym stands for, THAAD, Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, something or other. And then you have the last in line defense, ground-based missile defense, right now based out of Vandenberg Air Force Base in California and Fort Greely in Alaska. And that's the last ditch line of defense for the CONUS, continental U.S. And folks, it doesn't work. All of their anti-missile defense systems, the Aegis missile defense system, THAAD, the Patriot, the last line of defense I just mentioned, they don't work. You have all these war lovers, Trump and all the rest, just, you know, shaking their fists at North Korea, shaking their fists at Iran, shaking their fists at Russia, and you're a fool if you believe that these anti-missile defense systems actually work. They don't. And yet, if you go to Lockheed Martin's website, oh, every single one of their tests worked. They shot down every one of these test missiles that were fired. It's just a big joke. That's where we're headed to. It is, and the powers that be don't care if all these missiles start falling out of the sky, even if they could reach the continental U.S. Let's say for the sake of argument that, yes, the North Koreans or whoever has an intercontinental ballistic missile that has the range to get to the U.S., and let's say they even manage to miniaturize a nuclear weapon small enough to fit into the nose cone, right? If they're going to be able to do that, there's going to be all kinds of decoys. There's going to be all kinds of efforts made at electronically jamming the anti-missile defense system, et cetera, et cetera. It's not going to be all cut and dried, neat, staged, and packaged like these stupid tests that Lockheed Martin and others in the armaments industry are always crowing about. So they're always blowing smoke about how much they want an all-out war, but the people that are going to be in the receiving end, if it gets to that point, there's no comfort taken in the fact that these missile defense systems don't work, right? Just keep that point in mind. It's an important point. These weapons manufacturers in America, they build these weapon systems to profit, to make money. They're not typically created for the end user in mind, for the boots on the ground, for the pilots, for the people who are going to use the weapon systems. You contrast that with the way, like, the Russians build things, whereas the Americans have these grossly bloated budgets for the Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer or the Ticonderoga guided missile cruiser. Gigantic budgets for just each one of those. For each one of those behemoth, monolithic naval vessels, the Russians can make any number of corvettes and frigates smaller, but they still have eight or more. The corvettes will have up to eight vertical launch systems, vertical launchers to fire missiles. So the U.S. manufacturers, corporations, will make one huge destroyer or guided missile cruiser, whereas the Russians, for the same amount of money, could make any number of smaller vessels which still shoot missiles. But, you know, the mindset is bigger is better, you know. And same with these planes. We just had this incident. The Americans were crying victim aggressor mode again. Oh, you know, these Russian planes came close to ours. We had to scare them away with flares. Victim aggressor mentality again. And you go to these pro-rah-rah flag-waving websites. Oh, the F-22 is more than a match for any Russian plane, any plane in the world. The F-35 can do all this. The F-35 is another bloated, monstrous weapon system. And it may not even work. It probably won't work as advertised. They don't care about the pilots flying these things. They're fodder as far as the powers of be are concerned. The old F-16s, and supposedly they're going to upgrade the F-16s in order to add more life into them, ran circles around the F-35s, right? So, and you know, the defenders of the F-35 program will say things like, oh, those were just silly trials, stealth is what F-35 is all about, yada, 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 but they're just blowing smoke. Anyway, to the point about Fethullah Gulen, and once again, thank you very much, Sibel Edmonds, for bringing this to our attention, and thank you for some time ago now, years ago now, she called out professional liar Graham Fuller, CIA officer, who basically is the protector and the minder of Fethullah Gulen. Fethullah Gulen apparently played a key role in the attempted CIA coup in Turkey back in, I think it was, what, July, June 2016, when they tried to get rid of Erdogan. It didn't quite work. Apparently, Gulen and his network over there played a key role in that. And Graham Fuller and others brought Fethullah Gulen to the U.S. He's a protected species, right? Just like the Elohim City types at Oklahoma City, just like the Bin Laden family that was flown out of the U.S. when everyone else was grounded. So, you know, Fethullah Gulen is a protected species, and he's made a pile of money in heroin trafficking, and his jihadists have been used throughout Central Asia, all over the place, and now he's got all these charter schools in America, and where, think of them as madrasas, similar to the madrasas set up by the Saudis and Pakistani inner services intelligence in Pakistan and elsewhere, where they would basically brainwash all these young males into becoming hardened terrorists, hardened misogynists, hardened true believers, right? And so we have a similar situation in the U.S., all these charter schools all over the place. Now, what if, I'm just thinking out loud here, because at some point you have to start, I hate to use the word, you know, gaming out or doing a game plan or, you know, projecting possibilities, probabilities, possible scenarios. It's not a stretch for me to see the powers that be unleashing all these terrorists. And remember, there's also ISIS terrorist networks that have been protected in the United States, terrorist training camps. And now you add on to that mix the whole Fethullah Gulen Turkish jihadi crowd, and they start conducting all these false flag terrorist ops all over the place. But instead of going after them, the powers that be go after the preppers. They go after the patriots. They go after the constitutionalists, right? So all this havoc is taking place. Countless United Nations, NATO-type troops are already in place in the U.S. So it's not a stretch to suggest that down the road, and who knows how much longer it will be, because we always also have to keep in mind the state of the economy and the financial system, down the road, in parallel with the expansion of all these wars, which may turn nuclear abroad, a lot of false flag terrorism takes place. We're already having all these shootings going on, right? Because they're doing their level best to take away guns from the American people. It's not a stretch for all these ISIS cells, all these Fethullah Gulen jihadi charter schools and cells coming from them to go out, start all this havoc because they're a protected species. They're allowed to continue their work, and the authorities crack down, but they go after the constitutionalists, the patriots, the bloggers, etc., etc. And the whole net neutrality thing is just a whole other layer on top of that. So all these things do not operate in a vacuum. We have to keep in mind the Ring of Fire, all the volcanoes and earthquakes going on. California has been hit by a lot of earthquakes lately. In part two, I'm going to talk about the notion of directed energy weapons, scalar waves, call them what you will, being utilized in some of the selective fires, if you want to call them that, in Northern California. Because to me, it looks like some of these houses, some of these buildings, a huge Kmart in Santa Rosa, have just been flattened. Like an entire structure is reduced to just melted metal, just a small layer of pulverized concrete. Fires cannot do that. All the trolls are out in force on Facebook and elsewhere. Oh, the reason, you know, the trees are left unscorched is because, you know, there's water inside the trees, and that protects them from burning up. And so the fires jump the trees, and then they torch the houses. But that still doesn't explain why cars are melted and why the houses are reduced to like a small layer of rubble. Entire neighborhoods reduced to a small layer of rubble. And it's all very neat. It's all very selective. No, these are not normal fires. And I'll argue that point till someone else is blue in the face. Okay? Think about it as urban renewal. As evil and as heinous as it is, the powers that be, pursuant to their Agenda 21 goal of rezoning, redistricting, and creating all these little cubicles for people to live in, that's what they're doing. They're just using this directed energy weaponry, this scalar weaponry, whatever it is, to just absolutely flatten these places. And now sheriffs are coming out and saying, well, we may never know how many people were killed because the fires were so intense that the bodies were cremated. And do you know how hot fires have to get to cremate human bodies? Right? And then these trolls pop up. Oh, I was a fire science major in college. Oh, I was a firefighter. Oh, I took, you know, tree science in college. And they try to explain why all these trees are intact, but everything is just scorched, and it's all very selective. It's all very neat. The torching and the devastation meted out is too precise to have been the result of fires. I'm not talking about what's going on necessarily along, you know, a lot of the video you've seen lately with Highway 405 and, you know, the so-called San Diego Freeway, all the fires there. Oh, that's heinous and that's terrible. And I believe that's deliberately said as well. I'm talking about in Northern California, where the damage, the destruction was extremely precise. Okay, so I'm going to talk about that in the second half. For those of you listening, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour.